Welcome to Sincerely Trish. This is an uplifting show based on a few life stories, faith, and a lot of years of experience on this earth. It's a show that will bring inspiration and hope to all who have ever felt something in this life that does not seem fair or possible. Let's begin.
Hi, thanks for being here today. My name is Trish Lewis. This is Sincerely Trish. You're up to episode number 48. I'm so glad you're here today because I have a great show. My cousin Roseanne is here, and she is very passionate about Ancestry.com. Perhaps you've seen the commercials, or in the back of your mind you thought, maybe I'll do that, or you know somebody who's kind of hooked on Ancestry.com. Roseanne has a lot of information, and I'm sure you'll enjoy what she has to say. You know, every year, the second week of August, we gather together our family for a family picnic. It's very low key. It's just held at a park. But this is the first year I realized that a great uncle started this tradition over 50 years ago. And you really do feel this immense gratitude in your heart for someone who just took the time to do it. I know that we can all think, well, my family's not big enough. We're scattered everywhere. Nobody really cares. We're not a perfect family. We have a lot of faults. But just, you know, get that out of your mind. And if you want to start a family picnic, be the one just to start it, even if it's just one person and then it'll grow to two people. But just so that they know that every year there's a place that they can gather and celebrate family and past family and future family. We have people coming from Chicago, California, all over. This was the first year we didn't have mass, and we decided instead to hold a talent show. And the talent show was great. I mean, we had comedy, we had impersonations, we had poems. One of the cutest things we had was letters that were written from my cousin, who's probably, I don't know, 52 or something. And she wrote this letter to her other cousin, one from Buffalo, one to Chicago, and they were fifth grade girls. How sweet. You know, when you write a letter and you ask a question, do you like my glasses? How do you think I look in this picture? What kind of things are you doing this year in school? And you ask these questions and you have to wait for the answer. And you see somebody's penmanship. Do you like the way I am writing? It was a sweeter time, a gentler time, and you had to have that patience to wait to get the letter. How cute that they saved them and read them. Oh, we had comedians, but the greatest was, of course, the singing. And when my cousin Jenny and my cousin Joe got up and sang The Wild Rover, No Nay Never, I mean, it was so fantastic. It was just so clap-along fun. Did I mention that it poured rain? Because it poured rain, but nobody complained. We were under a shelter, and this summer's been so dry anyways. But I mean, poured rain like buckets. We did begin the talent show with our first song that everybody sang, and it was Holy God, We Praise Your Name. And that was a beautiful beginning. I hope to put a movie together of all the talent. If you have that tendency to think family picnics are stupid, I beg you to change your thinking, change your way of thinking on that, and just enjoy each other. Jump in. You'd be surprised at the satisfaction you'll receive. Hey, have you ever wondered about your genetic makeup? And I know certainly that we're all connected, but my cousin has done so much research and has absolutely gone head over heels, dove in deep in Ancestry.com. I want to welcome my first cousin, Roseanne, and Roseanne's going to tell us a little bit about Ancestry.com.
Thanks, Trish. Happy to be here. I have been interested in ancestry for years, but when I was working full-time, I never really had a lot of time to devote to it. I had an account on Ancestry.com and, you know, free spare moments here and there. I tried to really put the tree together and work on it, but I was just kind of busy and I let my account lapse for a year or so. Well, then when I retired from working full-time, I thought, well, I'm going to get back into this. I have the time. And I'm telling you, I must have been a genealogist in a former life because it is just so fascinating to me, putting the puzzles together, trying to make the connections and, you know, building out that tree. And I absolutely have fallen in love with it. It's almost become an obsession. Okay, it has become an obsession, I'll tell you that. And I also find working and helping other people with their ancestry, I love doing. You would think that if it's not my own ancestors and my own family, I'd have no interest. But that's not true. My sister's husband's family, I've been helping them build out their tree. And these people aren't related to me at all, but I absolutely love doing it. It's amazing.
Wow. Have you been surprised at all by anything that you've learned from all of your research about your family?
Yeah, you know what I've found, and it's interesting. We can find the bits of paper trails and find the census records and find little things like that, but it doesn't really always give you the complete picture or tell you who these people were. It's finding little unexpected things that really help you see who a person is. For example, in one document I discovered, and this is for my Uncle Harry Matamor's side of the family. In the little snippet of paper, Harry wrote that in 1913, I think it was, I don't have it in front of me, so forgive me if I get that not exactly right, that he dislocated his kneecap for the fourth time. And I think he was 17 years old. Wow. So what that tells me is perhaps he was an athlete, perhaps he was, you know, something happened to, you know, you find little snips of paper and little things like that that help tell you who the person is. And it's just fascinating to me to find little things that really can tell us.
Oh, my gosh. That is really neat. Who would ever think that that would live on in infamy? And you're like, wait, you're only a teenager and your kneecap blew out four times already? Roseanne, is there anybody in your family that is famous?
Well, let's see. We have had, on that same Matamor side, a ball player, a professional baseball player, Michael Matamor. He was the son of our original Matamor ancestor who came over from Ireland. And he had, you know, a big family, and one of them was, you know, professional ball player. I think we've had others that have, you know, owned companies and started, you know, mining industries and owned a mine or, you know, all kinds of things like that. People really were hard workers and had to, you know, the times were so different back then, and what they went through. But it's fascinating to learn about. And I've been trying to get at a lot of our roots by connecting with people through DNA testing. And I have helped facilitate DNA testing through Ancestry.com with a lot of family members, because the more people who do it, the more connections you can come up with. There's two components of doing the Ancestry DNA testing. One is you get your ethnicity, and that tells you you're X percent Irish and X percent Italian, or, you know, whatever it may be. The other part is you get kind of connected to people who also have a DNA match with you or with your family member. And it's interesting. I can tell you, like, for example, I get these kinds of things all the time, every week. This one came in just to me this week while I'm up visiting my family in Buffalo. a letter from somebody or an email from somebody who we have a connection with. I have ancestors from Kerry. I have been looking over your tree, and I think we are a Tralee match through your Moriartys and Kings. Hmm. There are a lot of records missing, of course, but I think this Ambrose Moriarty would be a sister to your Catherine Moriarty. And it goes on and on. Hmm. So someone who I have a DNA connection with looks and sees my tree and writes to me, and then we try to piece together the connection. So I have been talking to people all over the world. We've got ancestors that we're connected to, or that, you know, through the ancestors we're connected. They're in Australia, they're in Ireland, they're everywhere.
Wow. So, Roseanne, you have done the DNA testing on yourself and other family members, and you can find out the ethnicity, and then you connect with these other people, and you continue to put the puzzle together. Yeah. So is what gets you addicted? Is it like, oh my gosh, now look at, I got another clue. And do you get your clues almost every day?
I do. I do. I find I have my account open all the time on my computer, and I look at it every day because you get new messages, you get new connections, all kinds of things. You get new hints. And I know there's other companies besides Ancestry.com, but they're probably one of the largest and the most popular, and probably a lot of people have seen their advertising. They're a really great company to work with. And make it easy with lots of tools and all kinds of things if you do have an interest and join. But I have just found trying to make the connections, it's a mystery. It's all a big mystery. And to try to make those connections and figure out, well, how are we linked to this person? And that are so fascinating to me. And I don't know why, but some people kind of like to do that, and some people get it, and and other people don't. I have siblings, for example, that are like, "Well, gosh, I'm glad you're doing that because I couldn't care less." Like that, I don't have that interest, but I really do for some reason. So,
well, if somebody was interested, what would the cost be involved to starting an Ancestry.com?
Well, technically, you can join Ancestry.com for free. You'll be limited in what you can do. If you want to be able to really build out a robust tree and tap into and take advantage of all the databases that Ancestry has to offer and try to get those documents put into your account, then you do have to kind of have a join as a membership and a plan. And you know they have various ones. They have kind of a basic one, and then they have one that's all world access where you get tap into and you can get the records from all around the world, Germany, Ireland, Italy, whatever. So there's all different plans, and you just have to see if any of those are right for you. But for me, what I get out of it is not so much, gee, it costs X amount a year for me to do this. I get the satisfaction of really kind of feeling connected to my family and to my ancestors and feeling my place in the world. I can't describe it exactly, but it's just the coolest thing to kind of know from where you've come.
I bet, yeah. And you kind of want to be your best self for all those ancestors who worked so hard before you. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that I found really surprising, I thought that with the DNA test, if you had, like, you know, say you have the same mom or dad, your children have the same mom or dad or whatever, that you would have the exact same DNA. And here you have twin sisters.
Yeah, you know, when I started out, I asked the same thing. I thought, well, if one of my siblings got tested, well, then why do I need to? Because isn't my DNA the same? It's not. The only people that will have identical DNA are identical twins.
Oh.
Everybody else, just a sibling, say you and I were siblings, we each get a random 50% DNA from our mom and a random 50% DNA from our dad. So because it's random, theoretically, you could get completely different DNA from your mom and from your dad than a sibling would. So several of my siblings have been tested, and I've been tested, and we are different. And sometimes significantly more than you would think. And, you know, I so wish I had gotten into this just a little bit sooner so that I would have been able to get my dad's DNA test. He had passed in 2012. And it just would have been wonderful to get his ethnicity in the breakout. And I have the next best thing, and that his brother, who is still alive, my Uncle Paul, he did a DNA test, so I was able to kind of see. But like I said, siblings aren't always the same. So I wish I had done that. They do tell you in genealogy, if you're going to have family members tested, whatever, it's most important to get the oldest generation first, because they're the ones you want their DNA, you know, while you can get it. And it's, you know, I do have my mom's, and she's 87, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go swab my mom. I, too, share in that sadness that I don't have, like my dad or Natalie, but I'm so glad you're able to swipe the brothers. And it is fascinating. And, you know, we're here and we owe it to everyone who's gone before us. Think of the backbreaking work they did. Sometimes I'm on the thruway and I look at those huge, like you're going under a tunnel. Like somebody built that's probably my ancestors or something.
I know.
But I do want to thank you so much. And Roseanne, thank you so much. And is there anything you can tell us about your ethnicity that you thought was a little bit surprising?
About mine. Well, they always give you a percentage of kind of the main, the common, you know, but then there's some trace elements too. But no, I had the Irish and the English and the, what they call Western European that I expected. That would have been my dad's side. And for me, because I have my mom's, I can kind of extrapolate and figure out what came from which parent. So I've been lucky. But the one last thought I would leave you with is that some people say, well, you're digging into ancestors. You're digging into people that have long since died. How does that help you about today? How does that help you live today? Well, you know, it's interesting because I find through doing this ancestry, I have so much more of an appreciation for my family. And, you know, coming to this family picnic that we come to every year, trying to meet some of the you know, ancestors on, you know, a little bit farther removed. Years ago, I probably would have been like, well, I hardly know them. They're now in my tree. They're in my ancestor tree. They have meaning to me. Mm-hmm. I want to know them more. I want to know what's beyond the pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. I want to know what makes them them. And that is what ancestry has done for me.
You appreciate what is behind you. Because when you look back at your ancestry, you realize that all of your past is also your present. And without the past, there is no present. And without the present, there is no future. Be your best. Thanks for listening to Sincerely Trish.
Thanks for listening to Sincerely Trish. Catch more life lessons on her blog, poodlewalker.com, on Instagram, poodlewalker1, on Twitter, poodlewalker10. And let's remember, lead by example, live to inspire, and until next time, let your light shine.